Here are some words that Lorenzo Milam wrote when he and a gaggle of us decided to put together the National Alternative Radio Convention in Madison, Wisconsin in 1975. He wrote the introduction. Bill Thomas wrote the rest of the letter. I wrote nothing. I just did the logistics because I was the guy in Madison. Anyway, here's what Lorenzo wrote. The National Alternative Radio Convention, the Uncommon Carrier, an introduction by Lorenzo Milam. Some might think that it all began when Reginald Aubrey Fessenden sat down before his coils and sparks and whorls in Brant Rock, Massachusetts, 24 December 1904. His wife sang some pleasant carol. He read a poem or two. One of the neighbors played the piano. There were friends and listeners who were invited to write in and tell what they heard. And that they heard. We're never sure, even now, that they heard. And that may well be where community radio began. Or it might have happened in the hothouse mind of Lou Hill when he left his news job in Washington, D.C. in 1946 and took a band of pacifists, fresh from the jails of World War II, to Berkeley, California, to spend 3 years building what was to become KPFA. And with its input of the BBC Third Program and the passionate, pacifistic poetry news drama ideal, it became the repository of the intellectual minority's need for an alternative voice. Some partisans would say that it wasn't until KRAB or KDNA that the real community radio idea emerged, one that depends on hordes of volunteers and constant influx from the city and environments of license, with freeform, rambunctious, tear-em-up radio finally torn away from the pale gray shadows that had encumbered educational radio in the United States for 40 years, where a new type of radio not only needed and used the sophisticated cultural minority, but with poetry and music and telephones and community and news, gave the not-so-intellectual but alienated, disenfranchised social minorities their own world of speech and music as well. We didn't even think of the need to give it a title. I mean, it was sort of Pacifica-like, or sort of educational, or more exactly, non-commercial, free-forum, even free-form radio. And then the Carnegie Commission began to talk about public radio as opposed to instructional radio and television. And in the same way that the world created broadcasting as a contrast to narrowcasting, we had a bag and we were expected to sit in it and maybe even try and fill it. But even that won't do. We can say public, but we might be put in bed with the CPB stations that do 60% net feed, 20% late romantic and big band jazz, with announcers that came again out of the Ron Bailey School, where you talk at, not to. And we can say community, and that makes us feel better, at least until the next word comes along, because that means that we belong to the towns and the cities from which we radiate. But still, we would rather not be defined, really, except to say that we prefer to have at least 100 volunteers and a goodly selection of Puerto Rican, African, and Japanese music, that we usually operate out of the most dismal, shabby buildings or dump trucks imaginable, that we often will have equipment that should have been retired with Harding and that the volunteers, staff on the air people have a good bit of discretion in bringing the voices of the city into the hole in the dial called frequency. It was at this time, 2 months ago, that some of us who were gathered together to pay homage to the great god of ether decided it would be a good thing if we could get together and define ourselves again. The 25 or 30 stations, CPs or organization groups, coming into close contact with each other for 4 or 5 days, along with lawyers and engineers and program people and a smattering of other people who've watched us bemused as we came from the donut shop in Seattle, or Pom Pom Joe's in St. Louis, or the marina in Santa Cruz, or the parts shop in Pittsburgh, or the Haunted House Tavern in Dallas, and turned each of these entities into a vortex of communication and the ideal of freeform song and dance in our separate areas, to where this type of radio has its own hallmark key signature. John Ross calls it rough around the edges radio, following schemata, purpose, orientation, feeling, atmosphere, and no doubt, divine plan. In Madison, they'll soon be referring to it in the same way that they do Vermont, or Seattle, or Verdun. We will have enough time to see where each of us have been, where we are going, why and how we are going there. We have asked a few representatives from Pacifica so that we can see their way. We've asked some lawyer types so they can bring their own particular bizarre perspective to what we do. We've asked a few people from the more traditional educational outlets. We've asked a smattering of citizens groups to tell us their problems with access to the more traditional broadcast media. We've invited representatives from CPB and NPR. We've invited ourselves nonstop and constantly so that we can be reminded that finally, at last, in some central location, at a time when we feel that at last there is some gluey mind spit of unity possible in and around and between the KRABs and WFACs and KUSPs and KSMLs and Warts and KBOOs and KPOOs and WRFGs and WYEPs and KCHUs and K2s and Copens and Weevils and WDNAs and KBDYs and WISOs and all the others, enough to make it appear once and forever at all and for one that this dismally sweet ether that we pluck with the raptured frets of our own distracted timbrels coming down the ragged radio edges of time will at last, and for no good reason, have some reason for sporting somehow that centrifugal, if not centripetal, perspective on unity, which we all hope will at last mark our brief stay in the shadow of the sporadic e-layer of our days forever. Amen. Dallas, Texas, 15 May, 1975. Lorenzo, my love.